Sure.
Good morning. It works. Lovely to be with you. Thank you very much for your invitation. When I look back on my notes, it was just about 2 years ago in January 2020 that I was last with you. Things have changed a bit since then, haven't they? Amazing differences in what's been going on with our fellowships and our churches. We have a little calendar thing that's given to us. We give us little text for the day. Each day it was given to us at Christmas. And this morning's text was this: let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I thought that was very apt for this morning in that sense. When I find my notes then, I won't be able to remember what I'm talking about, will I? I do sometimes remember, but as often as not, I tend to forget. So where have I put them? There they are. You had two readings this morning. One of them was, I think, from your series that you're doing with your pastor, which is in Genesis. And then I thought perhaps we could link it to the New Testament as well. We find ourselves, don't we, as I was saying, in very different circumstances than we were in 2 years ago. It's had an amazing effect on everybody, and particularly perhaps as well as those who are ill, of course, and have lost loved ones, but in our own actions as church, in our faith, in seeking to serve God. It's amazing, really, when I think about it, that over a year or so, we couldn't even meet. Now we can come together, but there are hesitations about people coming to worship. When do we wear a mask? Well, we're told we don't need to now, but then we got so used to it, we probably put it on because we're afraid we shouldn't. And they're talking about us not having to stay in quarantine or whatever you want to call it, come next week, or should have been in March. But we need to recognise that we have a God who hasn't changed. Everything else might have changed, but God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and will be into all our tomorrows. And his love for us is unlimited and available at any time. And he was the same God who guided Abraham and Paul. And he will lead us. Do we believe that? Do we accept that? Do we understand that God is still there for us, even though we don't really get sometimes the whys and the wherefores of everything? Why has all this happened? And how often do we pray for guidance? We just sang that wonderful hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." He is a great God. He's an amazing God. He loves each one of us. But sometimes it's very difficult, isn't it, to understand, well, why are we in this situation? Why have I gone through this? What is God doing? Well, I suppose, and I was always taught, you never ask why when it comes to God, because he may not ever give you the answer, but it's to trust him, just to trust him and accept that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's always willing to guide us. And in the two passages that we had read for us, we recognize that there were two different sets of circumstances, but nevertheless, God was in both of those sets of circumstances. So we may not understand, I'm sure Abraham didn't, why on earth he had to go through that, or why Paul was told, no, can't go there, or there, you must go there. But God is willing to guide us if we listen to him. And I read a little story the other day, and it's nothing really whatever to do with this passage that we're looking at, but I enjoyed reading it, and you might enjoy it and smile a bit at the end. There's one day, it was a young man, couldn't make up his mind which girl he should marry. She had two of them, Sharon and Maria. They were both, he said, beautiful and wonderful. He loved them both. How he managed to do that, I'm not quite sure, but felt he had to decide which one to marry, in fairness to the other one, I presume. But he was really puzzled by it, so he went into the Catholic Church and he decided to go in and ask God to help him make a decision. And so he prayed about, which girl should I marry? And as he prayed, he didn't get any answer. But when he finished praying, he looked up, and there above the altar read, Ave Maria. Now, if you know any Roman Catholic sorts, that's Ave Maria, is the Maria that you talk about, Mary. So it said Ave Maria. So he went out and married Maria. Now, you know, okay, that's a bit of a joke, isn't it? Really, it's a bit silly. But you know, sometimes we end up in circumstances that are totally different to what we expected. And it's interesting to note that in the Word of God, we can always find encouragement and support. So what about Abraham in that chapter? Sorry it was a long reading. But it's the one that was set forth today. And also, thank you for the other reading as well. But I'm amazed when I read that passage during the last couple of weeks, thinking that here's Abraham with his son, said to have a lot of faith, Abraham, believed in God. And God comes along and speaks to him and says, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. It's an amazing part of that chapter, isn't it? Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, for I want to sacrifice him there. Now, what would Abraham have thought? I can't imagine it somehow. Incredible. And yet, he didn't say why. He didn't say, well, have I done something wrong? And we can't tell, he might have done, but he wouldn't have any record of that. But if you notice in the next verse, it says in verse 3, early the next morning, the very next morning, he gets saddled up his donkeys and gets all his provisions, and they set off for Moriah. He believed and had faith in God. And there's a record here we can find in Hebrews chapter 11, which refers to Abraham's faith. Let me just see if I can read that for you. It's a passage that talks about the faith of Abraham. If I can find Hebrews, it always hides from me, Hebrews. There it is. Hebrews chapter 11, and it reads in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went to a strange country, a foreign country, lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So he went somewhere, strange, away from his own country, by faith. His faith was in God. And we read it a bit later in the chapter, again talking about the faith of Abraham. In verse 12, it tells us, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And this is what I find very interesting, this verse here, is that it says Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So he had a faith and a belief that even if he did sacrifice his son, God would raise him up again and return him to him. Abraham's story is an amazing one and an incredible one, willing to follow God in what he was asked to do. What an amazing statement of faith. And we read also in Genesis 15, verse 6, that says, Abraham believed the Lord and God credited it to him as righteousness. And James quotes the same words, but he adds on at the end of that, he was called God's friend. What an attribute to be called God's friend. Abraham expressed and was able to do what God asked him to do, even in the most difficult of circumstances. He must have puzzled, really, what on earth was all that about. And then we had the reading that Sharon read for us from Acts chapter 15, where God prevents Paul from going to two particular places. One was a place in Asia, and the other was in a place called Bithynia. Now, Paul is on his missionary journeys. He's taking the gospel to the people around him, going to preach, being blessed and encouraged by people coming together and forming a fellowship. But here he tries to go to two different places, and God said, I'm not going, you're not going there. We don't know how God prevented him. We're not told that. It doesn't actually tell us that. But he couldn't go there. And instead, if you remember, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling, come over to us. And so that's what he did. And when he got there, he found, in fact, that there was no synagogue in the place he was going to. And he went instead and shared by the side of the river. Apparently, when there was no synagogue in a city, they used to go outside the city, and this was by the river, and have prayer together. There were no men. So this is interesting when we think sometimes that Paul doesn't give quite the same credit to women as he does to men. I believe God blesses both sexes in exactly the same way, because we are made in his image. And he calls us to witness, whether we're a man or a woman, to be called by God. So Lydia was one of the ladies that was there at the prayer meeting. And they got on obviously very well, because she invites him back for tea, or whatever they did in those days. They didn't have tea probably, but brought her back for something. And they shared a time together, and she welcomed him into her family. Now, Lydia came from a place called Thyatira. Well, Dan, you did okay on that one, didn't you? It's an unusual name place, isn't it? But Thyatira is in Turkey now. I don't know whether it's still called that, but it's in Turkey. And Paul was called not to go there, but to go to Greece, and went to Philippi, which was the major city in Macedonia at the time. And he goes across eventually to Philippi. Now, it's interesting as well, remembering that Lydia came from this place called Thyatira, that she has obviously travelled a lot. Apparently, the cloth she sold was extremely expensive. It was expensive cloth, and she made a living from selling that. But I imagine that she still had a home back in Thyatira. I'm not told that. I don't know that. And I can't find any record, unless Ian can tell me, whether Paul ever went to Thyatira. I couldn't find that he ever did. I don't know whether you know Paul. We don't know, or I couldn't find out. But Lydia must have gone back home and taken the gospel with her back into Asia. So you've got Paul going to Macedonia, which is in Greece, and Lydia being there, and perhaps going back to her home and taking the gospel with her. Why do we know that? Well, somebody must have gone, because in Revelation, the letter to the churches, there's a letter to the church at Thyatira. So there must have been a fellowship. So when you think about what God had done there, he prevented, if you like, Paul travelling up to the other places you want to go to, but across to a place in Macedonia, in Greece, which is in Europe, and then Thyatira, which is still in Asia, in the Turkey area, the gospel is taken back, by Lydia. I've not been able to find anything there, but nevertheless, we find that there's a letter to Thyatira in the book of Revelation. So we have two places. We've got Philippi, where Paul went, and we've got Thyatira, where Lydia went. All because God prevented Paul from going where he wanted to go. Now, did that mean that he actually put a physical barrier to stop him going? Or was it that he just spoke to him? God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to Paul, and they both sought to follow what God had asked them to do. So I was thinking when I was preparing this, is how do we practice to find out God's will for us? How do we do that? Where do we obtain the knowledge? Well, you can tell me, can't you? This place, we find it in God's word. That's where it is. But how often do we read it? And do we read it asking for some understanding of where we're going today? If you think of what has happened to a lot of fellowships, ours included and yours here, I'm sure as well, that the numbers have decreased. We don't seem to be getting the young people or the young families. It's totally different attitude to Christianity in this country over the last 2 years. We've almost been sidelined, if I can put it that way. Now, what is God saying to us in those circumstances? Why has this happened? Well, I don't know the answer to that. If I did, I'd be amazed. But God is still working through us. And for us who still love him and seek to serve him, do we need to practice? And of course, we can practice by reading God's word, seeking and asking God to speak to us. Maybe it's easy sometimes. Prayer is important. Prayer, I like to think of as a conversation. We talk to God and he talks back to us. We have a wonderful experience in our prayer times on a Thursday at our fellowship, where we sit, first of all, and ask God what he's saying to us. And that's really blessed me. Because in a prayer meeting, sometimes you feel a bit awkward if it's all silent, nobody's doing any praying. And yet this must be the time to talk to God. And if we're having a conversation, we'd expect a reply, wouldn't we? If I talked to my wife and she never replied to me, I'd think I'd done something wrong. Well, I do that quite often, but that's beside the point. But in a conversation, you need to listen to what's being said to you as well as what you're hearing and wanting to say. And how do we do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit. We may not get such a direct word as God gave to Abraham and Paul, but I'm reminded again by something I picked up when I was looking at this, of the lady who was trying to make her way to a particular place, and she didn't know how to get there. She stopped and asked a man who was working on the road, "How do I get to the Royal Albert Hall?" The man thought for a minute, and then he said, "You have to practice. Obviously, if you're going to play at the Royal Albert Hall, you have to practice. Otherwise, you never get there. Practice our faith." What does that mean for me, for you, for our church today? How do we hear from God and His Holy Spirit? Do we go on doing what we did before? Do we want to go back to what we did before? Is that the right thing to do? I believe and I sense from what is happening, perhaps in our own fellowship or in other places, that God's going to do a new thing. And I'm praying that that will be the case, that we will guide us and that we will see some form of revival for the church. In our own fellowship, there are not so many families now. A lot of the older people don't come because of what happened with the pandemic. And of course, there are those, sadly, who've passed away as well. So our numbers have been reduced. But what has God got in mind for us? In his letter that John wrote, well, not his letter, it was the angel of the church in Thyatira wrote it. It says this: "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and your perseverance, and that you're doing more than you did at first." Is that possible for us to do more than we did at first? Or we did in 2020 or 2018 or any other 20. What is God saying to us? Okay, if you read the story of the book of the letter to Thyatira, they did have a problem in their fellowship. And I suppose we might say that most Christian fellowships, there's always some difficulties, not perhaps as serious a problem as this one. But right towards the end of the letter, we read in verse 25 that the angel said, "Only hold on to what you have until I come." You know what you have. You know what word God has given you, where you've been encouraged. Don't go away from it. We don't move away from God's word because that doesn't change. And the Common English Version puts it this way: "Until I come, you must hold firmly to the teaching you have had." So the challenge is, isn't it? Do we continue doing what we did before the pandemic? Or is God calling us to something new? There's no doubt we must firmly hold on to the teaching that God has given us through his word. It's the only truth that we can really rely on. So when I was thinking about this, I said to Sharon, "I'm going to call the service Guidance and Faith." Are we prepared to be guided into situations that we don't really know or understand? I mentioned practice. Well, if you've ever watched the Olympics over the last few days, and I see those people doing those loops and going up high in the air, and I think, they must be mad. Frighten me. How did they get there? Because they practiced. It was the only way to do it. And do we put into practice the things that we know about the Lord? And are we willing to look for other things? God has given us his Holy Spirit to live inside us. Do we listen to what he has to say? Do we have the wisdom to know what God wants for us, for your fellowship here at Rington, your witness into the village? Is it a village or a town of Rington? Sorry, I'm drinking. We're challenged in our witness. A lot of people get into trouble seeking to witness to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, we have a God who has not changed, and he has given us wonderful promises. I can refer you back to the passage from John chapter 16, which we had read to us. And verses, in verse 15 of chapter 16, I have much more to say to you, says Jesus, more than you can now hear. But when he, the Spirit, comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So we have a promise here that he will talk to us. He will tell us what to come, but will be in God's timing, not mine, not yours, his. He will tell you what to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus is saying that God's given all that he has to Jesus, and Jesus is giving it to us. That is why I said the Spirit would take from what is mine, that's Jesus's, and make it known to you. We have a promise there that God will guide us if we have the faith to believe it. God loves and longs to guide and to bless us and give us all that we need to be faithful servants. Let's ask him for his guidance, his direction, and perhaps maybe the most important thing, the faith to be able to do it. That might take us out of our comfort zone. But I don't mind, in one sense, because I know it's never out of God's comfort zone. He will always bless us and honour us. He will always be there for us. We think of Abraham, we think of his life, a life of faith, an amazing life of faith. We think of Paul and his willingness to do what God called him to do, to go to places he was called. How's your experience been? How's my experience been? Have we seen God guide us in our lives? Are we still looking for God's guidance? And have we the faith to follow it up? Two amazing characters from God's word, two amazing challenges to us, and the promises that God brings to us that he will never leave us or forsake us under any circumstances. Whatever our circumstances, he's still with us. Whether we feel it or not, he's still there. So be assured that you want to get in touch with him, he'll get back to you. In some way, maybe through his word, maybe through somebody else, another Christian. Or maybe a set of circumstances that you realise, God, you put me here, now what on earth am I going to do? But God has a promise. He will help and guide you. Let's just pray. Father, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by what an amazing God you are. That you created us, created the world for us to live in. And Father, we just thank you that you love us unconditionally. That if we are prepared to talk to you and accept your amazing love, a love expressed by you sending Jesus into this world and him dying on a cross and rising again to demonstrate how much you love us. We read that you, God, so loved the world that you sent your Son. And the world means you sent him for us. So I thank you, Lord, for the examples we have of people like Abraham and Paul and so many other characters. So many characters too, Lord, that are just like us, having problems, having difficulties, being a failure sometimes, and yet you've always been there for them. And I pray, Lord, that as we seek to worship you, whether it's in song, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in the word, that you'll guide us and be there for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless and encourage the fellowship here at Rington, that you'll lay your hand upon each one of them that come here to worship you. For those that are not able to come, or perhaps at home unable to come, we ask a blessing, of course, for them. And Lord, too, we would also ask that because of your love for us, we might share that love, be it with family, friends, neighbours, those that we meet. Father, we just long for you to pour out your love through the power of your Spirit, through us, make us willing and have the faith to move. Father, we know that you'll give us that strength through your Holy Spirit. So guide us and bless us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. I hope that something that John has prepared and shared with us this morning resonates with you today. Two things, though. I find it hard to imagine, of course, why the man even had to think about who to pick between Sharon and Maria. It was obvious. And I'm not sure. I think you're being a bit generous, because I don't think I did say Thyatira, but I'll try harder next time. Oh, that was... You've been Googling that, haven't you? Tell the truth, you've been sat there on your phone. Right, we're going to stand and sing before our prayers of intercession. We're going to sing... Blah, blah, blah. We are going to sing Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. Interesting choice, Ian, considering how the week turned out. Please stand and sing.